Paul makes it very clear in his closing instructions to the Colossians, in this little section that we're looking at, that Christians must be marked by a life that's devoted to prayer. We're to persevere in prayer. And now in verses 3 and 4, Paul is going to switch gears just slightly, and he's going to move from this general encouragement to prayer to a more specific request for prayer. In verses 3 and 4, we see Paul encouraging the Colossians to pray for the proclamation of the gospel. He says, continue steadfastly in prayer. That's verse 2. And then he says at the beginning of verse 3, at the same time, pray also for us. Paul encourages the Colossians to pray for specific people. Particularly, he has in mind himself and Timothy and these other men that are with him preaching the gospel. And what we see from this text is that we ought to pray for those whose lives are given to the regular public proclamation of the gospel. I think this most naturally refers to people who preach and teach and share the gospel on a regular basis. And Paul is very straightforward about what he wants the Colossians to pray for. He doesn't leave us guessing as to the content. He basically wants us to pray two things. He wants these Colossians to pray two things. One, that God would open up a door for the word, and two, that he, that is Paul, would declare the gospel clearly. This verse highlights the importance of prayer, how crucial prayer is for the success of the gospel. Notice the language that Paul uses. He says, pray that God may open the door for us, or to us, for the word. He wants the Colossians to pray that opportunities would open up for the gospel. And think about that. How often does that sort of thing, if you're a believer, how often does that sort of thing flash on your radar? How often do you think, oh, I should be praying earnestly for opportunities for the gospel? If you want to make it real practical, you know, take it from out of left field and put it right here where we live, how often do you pray for the success of the word that's preached at this church? How often do you do that? If you don't, I encourage you to do so. And I'm not just saying that because, oh, I'm the one preaching. Like, our growth as Christians and any hope that we have to see people come to faith in Christ hinges on the success of the word. We need to be praying that God's word would be successful. And notice how Paul says that God is the one who opens the door for the word, which, if you catch that, means that even what I'm doing right now is a lost cause unless God does something, unless he accompanies his word with power and softens people's hearts. We might as well go home. What we're doing right now is of no use. If we're going to see the word succeed, God is going to be the one who opens the doors. Now, I can't speak for anybody else in this building, but there's this anticipation that wells up in me every time I know the word is going to be preached. Like, I'm a pretty even-keeled guy, like, laid back, and so maybe by looking at me, you can't tell, like, whatever. But the reality is, every time I know the gospel is going to be preached, like, I'm like, yes, you know, bring it on. I want to see something happen. And I'm not talking about, like, you know, loud, crazy fanaticism or whatever. I just want to see the Lord work. And I know that the means that he chooses to do that is through his word. Every time the word is preached, we ought to expect that something is going to happen. And so ask yourself that. Do you actually anticipate the Lord to save people when the gospel is preached? Do you actually expect that? Or you just kind of show up and be like, kind of like I talked about in the beginning, kind of go through the motions. Ah, we've been here, done that. Let's do it again and then go home. do we actually expect God to save people? Because the reality is, if you don't really expect much, you're not going to pray much, right? But I guarantee you, I bet you start praying for the Lord to open up doors, and at least two things are going to happen sooner or later. One, he's going to do it. He's going to open up doors for the word to be preached. And two, he's going to increase your desire to see him save people. We got to be praying for the success of the word. Paul not only asked for prayer that God would open up a door for the word, but that he also prays that he would declare the mystery of Christ clearly. Now, as a guy who preaches and teaches, I find this very encouraging coming from Paul. Paul is asking not only that the Lord would open up doors, but that also when those doors are open, he would clearly communicate the gospel. Now, Paul is no dummy. You know, he's no intellectual lightweight. And yet, we see him here in this text asking people to pray that the Lord would enable him to communicate the gospel clearly. And to me, that is encouraging. How much more do we need that? If Paul is praying or asking these people to pray that he would preach the gospel clearly, how much more do we need to pray like that? Paul wants to communicate the mystery of Christ clearly. And while there's a whole lot that we could say about what this phrase means, the mystery of Christ, I'll just say this without going into too much detail. The mystery of Christ basically refers to the gospel. How God saves sinners and makes them part of his covenant people through his son, Jesus. And if we as a church are going to glorify God by making disciples, we need to pray that the gospel would be proclaimed clearly. So, two things we see in this passage here. One, Paul praying for open doors, and two, when those doors get opened, that the gospel would be communicated clearly. And kind of the icing on the cake for me in this little section here in verses 3 and 4, just before we finish this point, notice where Paul is when he writes these words. This is the best part of this verse to me. Paul says, at the same time, pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison. Paul is writing these words as an incarcerated man. He's locked up. And we don't see Paul praying or asking that people would pray, oh, please pray that the Lord would get me out of here. Or please pray that I would be comfortable while I'm in prison. Here's this man who's locked up, and at the top of his priority list is communicating the gospel to people. Now, I don't know some of you, but I can guarantee you that we all are doing a lot better than Paul presently. You know, every single one of us is going to leave this place, go grab a bite to eat, maybe have a nap. And we won't do it while chained to a Roman prison guard. And yet, got Paul, he's locked up, whole lot of stuff he can pray for, and at the top of the stack is that the gospel would be clearly communicated. He's concerned with people getting the gospel. And all of us Christians who relatively live a whole lot easier lives than Paul, you got to ask yourself, where is communicating the gospel on our priority list? Where does that fall? How big of a deal is that for us? If we're going to be faithful to the mission statement of this church, if we're going to be effective at reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we need to, one, persevere in prayer, and secondly, we need to pray for the proclamation of the gospel.